ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
I'd like to greet everyone before we start out there in cyberspace who are followers of the daily readings of Srila Prabhupada's books, which we are continuing here, big time, four times more a day. Bonus. Okay.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, on this auspicious day, the day after the disappearance of Narottam Das Thakur, the 30th of October 2018, we're beginning the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1, the history of the life of Ajamiyo. Text 1. Maharaj Parikshit said, O my Lord, O Shukadev Goswami, you have already described in the second canto the path of liberation, Nivritti Marg. By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the higher planetary system, Brahmaloka. Wait, to the highest. What did I say? Oh, I meant to say highest. This garland, our guest or somebody. Or you want to put it on the outside for me?
It's raining rose petals.
Oh, thank you. Wait a second. You can't do that.
Come on, Marsh.
By following that path,
one is certainly elevated gradually to the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka, from which one is promoted to the spiritual world along with Lord Brahma. Thus one's repetition of birth and death in the material world. Since Maharaj Parikshit was at the end of the fifth canto of the different hellish conditions of life, how to condition from the clutches of Maya and take them back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he reminded his spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami, about the Nivritti Marg, or path of liberation, which he had described in the second canto. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami about the path of liberation at that crucial time. Shukadev Goswami very much appreciated his question and congratulated him by saying, Variyan ishtate prashna loka itam nipa atmavit samatak pungsam shuttavyadishu yakpada. My dear, I forgot the tune. You have to cue me when I. My dear king, your question is glorious, because it is very beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. This is very good, by the way. This is a very good system. Parikshit Maharaj was astonished that the living entities in the conditional stage do not accept the path of liberation, devotional service, instead of suffering in so many hellish conditions. This is the symptom of a Vaishnava. Panchakalpadurubhyascha kripasindubhyaebacha. A Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy, paradukaduki. He is unhappy because of the unhappiness of others. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, being compassionate toward the conditioned soul suffering in hellish life, suggested that Shukadeva Goswami continue describing the path of liberation, which he had explained in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The word Sanskriti is very important in this connection. Sanskriti refers to continuing on the path of birth and death. Asanskriti, on the contrary, refers to Nivritti Marg, or the path of liberation, by which one's birth and death cease, and one gradually progresses to Brahmaloka, unless one is a pure devotee who does not care about going to the higher planetary systems, in which case one immediately returns home back to Godhead by executing devotional service. Chaktva deham punar janma naiti. Parikshit Maharaj therefore was very eager to hear from Shukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation for the conditioned soul. According to the opinion of the Acharyas, the word krama yoga palabdhena indicates that by first performing karma yoga and then jnana yoga and finally coming to the platform of bhakti yoga, one can be liberated. Bhakti yoga, however, is so powerful that it does not depend on karma yoga or jnana yoga. Bhakti yoga itself is so powerful that even an impious man with no assets in karma yoga or an illiterate man with no assets in jnana yoga can undoubtedly be elevated to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to bhakti yoga. Mame vaisya shashangshayaha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that by the process of bhakti yoga, one undoubtedly goes back to Godhead, back home to the spiritual world. Yogis, however, instead of going directly to the spiritual world, sometimes want to see other planetary systems, and therefore they ascend to the planetary system where Lord Brahma lives, as indicated here by the word Brahmana. At the time of dissolution, Lord Brahma, along with the inhabitants of Brahmaloka, go directly to the spiritual world. This is confirmed in the Vedas as follows. Brahmana sahate sarve samprapte patishanchade padashyante kritatmana pravishyanti padam padam. Because of their exalted position, those who were on Brahmaloka at the time of dissolution go directly back home, back to Godhead, along with Lord Brahma. Text 2. O great sage Shukadeva Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of the material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer. And according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marg, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have already described in the third canto, purport. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti devarvata devan pitrinyanti prativritaha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mad yachinopimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. Because of the influence of the various modes of nature, the living entities have various tendencies or propensities, and therefore they are qualified to achieve various destinations. As long as one is materially attached, he wants to be elevated to the heavenly planets, because of his attraction to the material world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, however, those who worship me, come to me. If one has no information about the Supreme Lord and his abode, one tries to be elevated only to a higher material position. But when one concludes that in this material world there is nothing but repeated birth and death, he tries to return home, back to Godhead. If one attains that destination, he need never return to this material world, Yagatva nanivartante tadama paramamama. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagavanji Guru Prishta Prasari Poya Bhakti Lata Bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. All living entities are rotating throughout the universe, going sometimes up to the higher planetary systems and sometimes down to the lower planets. This is the material disease, which is known as Pravritti Marg. When one becomes intelligent, he takes to Nivritti Marg, the path of liberation, and thus, instead of rotating within this material world, he returns home, back to Godhead. This is necessary. Text 3. You have also described, at the end of the fifth canto, the varieties of hellish life that result from impious activities. And you have described, in the fourth canto, the first Manvantara, which was presided over by Swayambhuva Manu, the son of Lord Brahma. Texts 4 and 5. My dear Lord, you have described the dynasties and characteristics of King Priyavrata and King Uttanapad. The Supreme Personality of Godhead created this material world with various universes, planetary systems, planets and stars, with varied lands, seas, oceans, mountains, rivers, gardens, and trees, all with different characteristics. These are divided among this planet Earth, the luminaries in the sky, and the lower planetary systems. You have very clearly described these planets and the living entities who live on them. Purport. Here the words Yatedam Ashrijad Vibhu clearly indicate that the Supreme, the Great, Almighty Personality of Godhead created this entire material world with its different varieties of planets, stars, and so forth. Atheists try to conceal the hand of God, which is present in every creation, but they cannot explain how all these creations could come into existence without a competent intelligence and almighty power behind them. Simply to imagine or speculate is a waste of time. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, I am the origin of everything. Mattak sarvam pavartate, whatever exists in the creation emanate from me. Iti mat va bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. When one understands that I create everything by my omnipotence, one becomes firmly situated in devotional service and fully surrenders at my lotus feet. Unfortunately, the unintelligent cannot immediately understand Krishna's supremacy. Nonetheless, if they associate with devotees and read authorized books, they may gradually come to the proper understanding, although this may take many, many births. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam janmanamante jnanavamam prapadyate vasudeva savamiti samahatma sadurlabaha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Vasudev, Krishna, is the creator of everything, and his energy is displayed in various ways. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, a combination of the material energy, Bhumirapo Nalo Vayu, and the spiritual energy, the living entity, exists in every creation. Therefore, the same principle, the combination of the Supreme Spirit and the material elements, is the cause of the cosmic manifestation.
Nice.
Text number 6. O greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadev Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. Okay? Purport. In the 26th chapter of the 5th canto, Shukadev Goswami has explained that people who commit sinful acts are forced to enter hellish planets and suffer. Now Maharaj Parikshit, being a devotee, is concerned with how this can be stopped. A Vaishnava is paradugatuki. In other words, he has no personal troubles, but he is very unhappy to see others in trouble. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, I have no personal problems, for I have learned how to gratify your glorify your transcendental qualities and thus enter a trance of ecstasy. I do have a problem, however, for I am simply thinking of these rascals and fools who are busy with maya sukha, temporary happiness, without knowledge of devotional service unto you. This is the problem faced by a Vaishnav. Because a Vaishnav fully takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he personally has no problems. But because he is compassionate toward the fallen conditioned souls, he is always thinking of plans to save them from their hellish life in this body and the next. Parikshit Maharaj therefore anxiously wanted to know from Shukadev Goswami how humanity can be saved from gliding down to hell. Shukadev Goswami had already explained how people enter hellish life, and he could also explain how they could be saved from it. Intelligent men must take advantage of these instructions. Unfortunately, however, the entire world is lacking Krishna consciousness, and therefore people are suffering from the grossest ignorance and do not even believe in a life after this one. To convince them of their next life is very difficult because they have become almost mad in their pursuit of material enjoyment. Nevertheless, our duty, the duty of all sane men, is to save them. Maharaj Parikshit is the representative of one who can save them. Text number 7. Shukadev Goswami replied, "My dear king, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life with his mind, words, and body are not counteracted through proper atonement, according to the description of the Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you." Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that although Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee, Shukadev Goswami did not immediately speak to him about the strength of devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:26, "Mam cha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan pramapuyaya kalpate." Devotional service is so strong that if one fully surrenders to Krishna and takes fully to his devotional service, the reactions of his sinful life immediately stop. Elsewhere in the Gita 18:66, Lord Krishna urges that one give up all other duties and surrender to him. And he promises, "Ahang tong sarva papi byo mukshayishami," I shall free you from all sinful reactions and give you liberation. Therefore, in response to the inquiries of Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, his guru, could have immediately explained the principle of bhakti, but to test Parikshit Maharaj's intelligence, he first prescribed atonement according to Karmakanda, the path of fruitive activities. For Karmakanda, there are 80 authorized such as, For Karmakanda, there are 20 authorized scriptures such as Manusamhita, which are known as Dharma Shastras. In these scriptures, one is advised to counteract his sinful acts by performing other types of fruitive action. This was the path first recommended by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, and actually it is a fact that one who does not take to devotional service must follow the decision of these scriptures by performing pious acts to counteract his impious acts. This is known as atonement. 8. Therefore, before one's next death comes, as long as one's body is strong enough, one should quickly adopt the process of atonement according to Shastra. Otherwise, one's time will be lost, and the reactions of his sins will increase. As an expert physician diagnoses and treats a disease according to its gravity, one should undergo atonement according to the severity of one's sins. Purport. The Dharma Shastras, like Manu Sanhita, prescribe that a man who has committed murder should be hanged and his own life sacrificed in atonement. Previously, this system was followed all over the world, but since people are becoming atheists, they are stopping capital punishment. This is not wise. Herein it is said that a physician who knows how to diagnose a disease prescribes medicine accordingly. If the disease is very serious, the medicine must be strong. The weight of a murderer's sin is very great, and therefore, according to Manu Samhita, a murderer must be killed. By killing a murderer, the government shows mercy to him, because if a murderer is not killed in this life, he will be killed and forced to suffer many times in future lives. Since people do not know about the next life and the intricate workings of nature, they manufacture their own laws. But they should properly consult the established injunctions of the Shastras and act accordingly. In India, even today, the Hindu community often takes advice from expert scholars regarding how to counteract sinful activities. In Christianity also, there is a process of confession and atonement. Therefore, atonement is required, and atonement must be undergone according to the gravity of one's sinful acts. 9. Maharaj Parikshit said, one may know that sinful activity is injurious for him because he actually sees that a criminal is punished by the government and rebuked by people in general, and because he hears from scriptures and learned scholars that one is thrown into hellish conditions in the next life for committing sinful acts. Nevertheless, in spite of to commit sins again and again, even after performing acts of atonement. Therefore, what is the value of such atonement? Purport. In some religious sects, a sinful man goes to a priest to confess his sinful acts and pay a fine. But then, he again commits the same sins and returns to confess them again. This is the practice of a professional sinner. Parikshit Maharaj's observations indicate that even 5,000 years ago, it was the practice of criminals to atone for their crimes but then commit the same crimes again as if forced to do so. Therefore, owing to his practical experience, Parikshit Maharaj saw that the process of repeatedly sinning and atoning is pointless. Regardless of how many times he is punished, one who is attached to sense enjoyment will commit sinful acts again and again until he is trained to refrain from enjoying his senses. The word vishvas is used herein. The word vivasha is used herein, indicating that even one who does not want to commit sinful acts will be forced to do so by habit. Parikshit Maharaj therefore considered the process of atonement to have little value for saving one from sinful acts. In the following verse, he further explains his rejection of this process. 10. Sometimes one who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. I therefore consider this process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant, for an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. Purport. When Parikshit Maharaj inquired how a human being could free himself from sinful activities so as not to be forced to go to hellish planetary systems after death, Shukadeva Goswami answered that the process of counteracting sinful life is atonement. In this way, Shukadeva Goswami tested the intelligence of Maharaj Parikshit, who passed the examination by refusing to accept this process as genuine. Now Parikshit Maharaj is expecting another answer from his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami.
Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vedavyas, answered, "My dear king, since acts meant to neutralize impious actions are also fruitive, they will not release one from the tendency to act fruitively. Persons who subject themselves to the rules and regulations of atonement are not at all intelligent. Indeed, they are in the mode of darkness. Unless one is freed from the mode of ignorance, trying to counteract one action through another is useless, because this will not uproot one's. Thus, even though one may superficially seem pious, he will undoubtedly be prone to act impiously. Therefore, real atonement is enlightenment in perfect knowledge, by which one understands the Supreme Absolute Truth. Purport. The Guru, Shukadeva Goswami, has examined Parikshit Maharaj, and it appears that the king has passed one phase of the examination by rejecting the process of atonement because it involves fruitive activities. Now Shukadeva Goswami is suggesting the platform of speculative knowledge. Progressing from Karmakanda to Jnanakanda, he is proposing Prayaschitam Vinarshanam Vimarshanam. Real atonement is full knowledge. Vimarshana refers to the cultivation of speculative knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, karmis who are lacking in knowledge are compared to asses. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Namam duskridanam mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya parita jnana asuram bhavamashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Thus karmis who engage in sinful acts and who do not know the true objective of life are called mudhas, asses. Vimarsana, however, is also explained in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, where Krishna says, Vedais jasayar aham eva bedyaha. The purpose of Vedic study is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one studies Vedanta, but merely advances somewhat in speculative knowledge, and does not understand the Supreme Lord, one remains the same mudha. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one attains real knowledge when he understands Krishna and surrenders unto him. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam papadyate. To become learned and free from material contamination, therefore, one should try to understand Krishna. For thus one is immediately liberated from all pious and impious activities and their reactions. Text 12. My dear King, if a diseased person eats the pure, uncontaminated food prescribed by a physician, he is gradually cured, and the infection of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses toward liberation from material contamination. Purport. One is gradually purified if one cultivates knowledge, even through mental speculation, and strictly follows the regulative principles enjoined in the Shastras and explained in the next verse. Therefore, the platform of jnana, speculative knowledge, is better than the platform of karma, fruitive action. There is every chance of falling down from the platform of karma to hellish conditions. But on the platform of jnana, one is saved from hellish life, although one is still not completely free. The difficulty is that on the platform of jnana, one thinks that he has been liberated and has become Narayana or Bhagavan. This is another phase of ignorance. Yenye rividaksha vimuktina nimas twai astapavat avishuddha buddhayaha aruya krichchena padam padam tata patantya donadritam yushmat angraya. Because of ignorance, speculatively thinks himself liberated from material contamination, although actually he is not. Therefore, even if one rises to the Brahmagyan, understanding of Brahman, one nevertheless falls down because of not taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Nonetheless, jnanis at least know what's sinful and what is sinful and what is pious, and they very cautiously act according to the injunctions of the Shastras. Texts 13. To concentrate the mind, one must observe a life of celibacy and not fall down. One must undergo the austerity of voluntarily giving up sense enjoyment. One must then control the mind and senses, give charity, be truthful, clean, and nonviolent, follow the regulative principles, and the Lord. Thus, a sober and faithful person who knows the religious principles is temporarily purified of all sins performed with his body, words, and mind. These sins are like the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree, which may be burned by fire, although their roots remain to grow again at the first opportunity. Purport. Tapa is explained in the Smriti Shastra as follows. Manashas chenriyanam cha ayikagriyam paramam tapa. Complete control of the mind and senses and their complete concentration on one kind of activity is called tapa. Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching people how to concentrate the mind on devotional service. This is first-class tapa. Brahmacharya, the life of celibacy, has 8 aspects. One should not think of women, speak about sex life, dally with women, look lustfully at women, talk intimately with women, or decide to engage in sexual intercourse. Nor should one endeavor for sex life or engage in sex life. One should not even think of women or look at them, to say nothing of talking with them. This is called first-class brahmacharya. If a brahmachari or sannyasi talks with a woman in a secluded place, naturally there will be a possibility of sex life without anyone's knowledge. Therefore, a complete brahmachari practices just the opposite. If one is a perfect brahmachari, he can very easily control the mind and senses, give charity, speak truthfully, and so forth. To begin, however, one must in the process of eating. In the Bhakti Marg, the path of devotional service, one must strictly follow the regulated principles by first controlling the tongue. Sevan mukhe hi jivado swayameva spuratyadaha. The tongue, jiva, can be controlled if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, does not speak of any subjects other than those concerning Krishna, and does not taste anything not offered to Krishna. If one can control the tongue in this way, brahmacharya and other purifying processes will automatically follow. It will be explained in the next verse that the path of devotional service is completely perfect and is therefore superior to the path of fruitive activities, knowledge. Quoting from Viradhava, Acharya explains that austerity involves observing fasts as fully as possible. Tapasana shakena. Srila Rupa Goswami has also advised that pratyahara, too much eating, is an impediment to advancement in devotional and spiritual life. Also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yukta hara viharasya yukta chetasya karmasu tasvapna babodasya yogo bhavaridukaha. He who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. In text 14, the word dhira, meaning those who are undisturbed under all circumstances, is very significant. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Matra sparshasta konteya shitoshna sukadukata agama payano nityas tongs tatikshas sabharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O scion of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without becoming disturbed. In material life, there are many disturbances, adyatmika, adivaka, and adibhautaka. One who has learned to tolerate these disturbances under all circumstances is called. Text 15. Adun vanti karsnyena nihadam vabaskaraha. Only a rare person who has adopted complete, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Purport. In the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burnt to ashes by a fire, although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge, but who has no taste for devotional service, there is a possibility that his sinful desires will reappear. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shriyak Sritim Bhakti Mudasyate Vibho Klishyantite Kevalabodha. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of the material, distinguishing between sinful and pious activities, but who are not situated in devotional service, are prone to material activities, fall down and become implicated in fruitive activities. If one becomes attached to devotional service, however, his desires for material are automatically vanquished without separate endeavor. Ti parnisha nubhavo virakti ranya cha cha. I didn't say that right. Say it right. Okay. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. That is the test of Krishna consciousness. Both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance, because the living entity, as an eternal servant of Krishna, has no need to act for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. This process of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva, Parayana, relieves one from the reactions of all activities. Since Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, the answers of his guru, Shukadeva Goswami, concerning Karmakanda and Jnanakanda, could not satisfy him. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, knowing very well the heart of his disciple, explained the transcendental bliss of devotional service. The word kechit, which is used in this verse, means a few people, but not all. Not everyone can become Krishna conscious. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yadati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam tatpataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one may be in truth. Practically no one understands Krishna as he is, for Krishna cannot be understood through pious activities or attainment of the most elevated speculative knowledge. Actually, the highest knowledge consists of understanding Krishna. unintelligent men who do not understand Krishna are grossly puffed up, thinking that they are liberated or have themselves become Krishna or Narayana. This is ignorance. To indicate the purity of bhakti, devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma janavritam anakul yena krishtanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami further explains that bhakti is kleshagni shubhada, which means that if one takes to devotional service, all kinds of unnecessary labor and material distress cease entirely, and one achieves all good fortune. Bhakti is so powerful that it is also said to be moksha lagutakrit. In other words, it minimizes the importance of liberation. Non-devotees must undergo material hardships because they are prone to commit sinful fruitive activities. The desire to commit sinful actions continues in their hearts due to ignorance. These sinful actions are divided into three categories: pataka, mahapataka, and ati. And also into two divisions, prarabdha and aprarabdha. Prarabdha refers to sinful reactions from which one is suffering at the present, and aprarabdha refers to sources of potential suffering. Seeds, bija, of sinful reactions have not yet fructified. The reactions are called aprarabdha. These seeds of sinful action are unseen, but they are unlimited, and no one can trace when they were first planted. Because of prarabdha, sinful reactions that have already fructified, one is seen to have taken birth in a low family, or to be suffering from other miseries. When one takes to devotional service, however, all phases of sinful life, including prarabdha, aprarabdha, and bija, are vanquished. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, Yatagni susamrita karotketang sibasmasat tatamad vishaya bhaktir udhavainang sikrishnata. My dear Uddhava, devotional service in relationship with me is like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the fuel of sinful activities supplied to it. How devotional service vanquishes the reactions of sinful life is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in a verse spoken during Lord Kapiladeva's instruction to his mother, Devahuti. Devahuti said, Yannamadeya shavananu kirtanad yak pravanad yad smaranat api kuchit shvado disadya tranalya kalpate kutak punaste udarshanad. My dear Lord, if even a person born in a family of dog-eaters hears and repeats the chanting of your holy glories, offers respects to you, and remembers you, he is immediately greater than a brahmana and is therefore eligible to perform sacrifices. Therefore, what is to be said of one who has seen you directly? In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that persons whose hearts are always attached to the devotional service of Lord Vishnu are immediately released from all reactions to sinful life. These reactions generally exist in four phases. Some of them are ready to produce results immediately, some are in the form of seeds, some are unmanifested, and some are current. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. When devotional service is present in one's heart, desires to perform sinful activities have no place there. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal soul of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes that he is God's eternal soul. that bhakti may be divided into two divisions. One, santata, devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love. And two, kadachit ki, devotional service that does not continue incessantly, but is sometimes awakened. Incessantly flowing devotional service, santata, may also be divided into two categories. One, service performed with slight attachment, and two, spontaneous devotional service. Intermittent devotional service, kadachitki, may be divided into three categories. For one, raga basamayi, devotional service in which one is almost attached. Two, raga basa shunya sarupa bhuta, devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love, but one likes the constitutional position of serving. And three, abhasa, a slight glimpse. As for atonement, if one is caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschitta, atonement, are superseded, since even that slight glimpse of devotional service uproots and vanquishes all the reactions of sinful life. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love. Huh? Maybe you're getting something that was taken out and now you're getting it back. I feel like I just got a that was left out. I want to read it again.
After superseded means therefore atonement is certainly unnecessary. As for atonement, if one has caught... Oh, I don't have it. Because I have the book. So when it says this word,
Haribol, Naman Nesaka has arrived. Haribol brought the ISV. Yeah, he's back in his, what do they call that? Control booth. Yeah. I'm still not exactly sure which one is.
I'll read, and then when after superseded, there is one extra sentence.
You might as well hold that mic close to your...
As for atonement, if one has caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschitta, atonement, are superseded.
And that's it.
That's it.
Since even that slight glimpse of devotional service uproots and vanquishes all reactions of sinful life, which is needed to complete the thought, and was there. Thank you. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love, and above that, attachment with love, which are signs of increasing advancement in kadachit ki. Srila Jiva Goswami expresses the opinion that the word means that even if one has a desire to commit sinful actions, the roots of that desire are vanquished merely by abhasa rupa bhakti. The example of abhasa rupa bhakti das, association with abhasa rupa bhakti das, the example of Bhaskara, the sun, is most appropriate. The abhasa feature of bhakti is compared to twilight. If one's sinful activities is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need do no more than merely manifest its first rays and the fog immediately disappears. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of a sinful life immediately vanquished. And I want to read one thing as a point of information also in Rupa Goswami's Namastaka. And that is, huh? No. It was a nice try, though. You got close. It's number four. Ah. But what part of it? Apaiti namas purinendatate pradabdha karmeti virauti veda. Now, this is very important because there are people who have the philosophy that the prarabdha karma cannot be burned completely because they say you got the body and until you die, that's it. You can't get rid of your prarabdha karma. That's a philosophy. It's going around, by the way. The especially the wait. I know that. I know. I'm just trying to. I'm just don't get. Just hold your. Because, anyway, the all holy name, the Vedas declare that meditation on the impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from karmic reactions. That they must be enjoyed or suffered. But that when you manifest yourself in one's consciousness, all karma at once disappears. And the word is prarabdha, karmeti. Very important. Directly, Rupa Goswami is completely smashing to smithereens, slashing that ignorance in one fell swoop. Man, I mean, we got some real saints around here. Some real scholars.
Yes, it's also proved in. Go right ahead.
Please.
It's also proved in the verse probably quoted already, along with the other verse that goes with it. Yanamadeya shravananukirtanadya smaranadya, and also aho bhatta shvapachitogariyam. Those two verses prove, say our acharyas, that the prarabdha is vanquished. Otherwise, how would a dog eater be eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if his body hadn't changed? 16. My dear king, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord and thus learns how to dedicate his life unto the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and the other methods of atonement I have previously described. Purport, Tat Purusha refers to a preacher of Krishna consciousness, such as the spiritual master. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said, Chadiya Boishnab Sheba Nishtar Bayeche Keba. Without serving a bona fide spiritual master, an ideal Vaishnav, who can be delivered from the clutches of Maya? This idea is also expressed in many other places. Srimad Bhagavatam 552 says, Mahat Sevam Dvara Maho Mahukte. If one desires liberation from the clutches of Maya, one must associate with a pure devotee, Mahatma. A Mahatma is one who engages 24 hours daily in the loving service of the Lord. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:13, Mahatmanas tumam parta daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Thus, the symptom of a Mahatma is no engagement other than service to Krishna. One must render service to a Vaishnava in order to get freed from sinful reactions, revive one's original Krishna consciousness, and be trained how to love Krishna. This is the result of Mahatma Seva. One, of course, if one engages in the service of a pure devotee, the reactions of one's sinful life are vanquished automatically. Devotional service is necessary not to drive away an insignificant stock of sins, but to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. As fog is vanquished at the first glimpse of sunlight, one's sinful reactions are automatically vanquished as soon as one begins serving a pure devotee. No separate endeavor is required. The word Krishnarpita Prana refers to a devotee who dedicates his life to serving Krishna, not to being saved from the path of hellish life. A devotee is Narayana Parayana or Vasudeva Parayana, which means that the path of Vasudeva, or the devotional path, is his life and soul. Narayana Paraksarve Nakutashchana Pibhyati. Such a devotee is not afraid of going anywhere. There is a path toward liberation in the higher planetary systems and a path toward the hellish planets, but a Narayana Parayana, Narayana Para devotee is unafraid wherever he is sent. He simply wants to remember Krishna, wherever he may be. Such a devotee is unconcerned with hell and heaven. He is simply attached to rendering service to Krishna. When a devotee is put into hellish conditions, he accepts them as Krishna's mercy. Tate nukampam susamikshamana. He does not protest. Oh, I am such a great devotee of Krishna. Why have I been put into this misery? Instead, he thinks, this is Krishna's mercy. Such an attitude is possible for a devotee who engages in the service of Krishna's representative. This is the secret of success. Yes, sir. Yes, use the mic. Hey, we are at ISV.
Wanted to add on to that point that the body can be changed by the chanting. It's in the Gaurgovinda Maharaj quotes the Padma Purana, I believe, in saying that by chanting one can cure even physical ailments. And that's, if we want to find that, you can find it in the back of the Nectarian.
What do you mean, if we want to find it? If you bring it up, you have to find it.
Well, I can tell you where it is. It's in the back of the Nectarian. I mean, I have found it, so I'm just saying if anybody wants to look at that.
What do we have to do to get it out of your... We have to go search your room or what?
No, I'm just saying where it is.
You didn't say where it is yet. We're ready to charge up there and find it.
It's in the back of the Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name.
Where's the book?
You want me to get you a copy?
You have it stashed somewhere?
Anyway, it's Suchinanda Maharaj's book. But anyway, he quotes Gaurgovinda Maharaj, who quotes Padma Purana.
Could we get it? It's Maharaj's room.
He has every book in there.
On the break. We'll bring it back on the break.
Just a quick note.
Okay. Very supportive. Very supportive and very much appreciated. Where are we now? 17?
17.
The path followed by pure devotees who are well-behaved and fully endowed with the best qualifications is certainly the most auspicious path in this material world. It is free from fear, and it is authorized by the Shastras. Purport. One should not think that the person who takes to bhakti is one who cannot perform the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, or is not sufficiently educated to speculate on spiritual subjects. Mayavadis generally allege that the bhakti path is for women and illiterates. This is a groundless accusation. The bhakti path is followed by the most learned scholars, such as the Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramanujacharya. These are the actual followers of the bhakti path. Regardless of whether or not one is educated or aristocratic, one must follow in their footsteps. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. One must follow the path of the Mahajanas. The Mahajanas are those who have taken to the path of devotional service. Shushila sadavo yatra narayana parayana. For these great personalities are perfect persons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvargunas tatra samasate sura. One who has unflinching devotion to the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. The less intelligent, however, misunderstand the bhakti path and therefore allege that it is for one who cannot execute ritualistic ceremonies or speculate. As confirmed here by the word sadrichina, bhakti is the path that is appropriate, not the paths of karmakana and gyanakana. Mayavadis may be shushila sadhava, well-behaved saintly persons, but there is nevertheless some doubt about whether they are actually making progress. For they have not accepted the path of bhakti. On the other hand, those who follow the path of the Acharyas are Sushila and Sadhava. But furthermore, their path is Akutobhaya, which means free from fear. One should fearlessly follow the 12 Mahajanas and their line of disciplic succession and thus be liberated from the clutches. Text number 18. My dear king, as a pot containing liquor cannot be purified even if washed in the waters of many rivers, non-devotees cannot be purified by processes of atonement even if they perform them very well. Purport. To take advantage of the methods of atonement, one must be at least somewhat devoted. Otherwise, there is no chance of one's being purified. It is clear from this verse that even those who take advantage of karmakanda and jnanakanda, but are not at least slightly devoted, cannot be purified simply by following these other paths. The word prayaschitani is plural in number to indicate both karmakanda and jnanakanda. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, karmakanda jnanakanda keva lakvishera bandha. Thus, Narottam Das Thakur compares the paths of karmakanda and jnanakanda to pots of poison. Liquor and poison are in the same category. According to this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, a person who has heard a good deal about the path of devotional service, but who is not attached to it, who is not Krishna conscious, is like a pot of liquor. Such a person cannot be purified without at least a slight touch of devotional service. Text number 19. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet and who have become attached to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are completely freed of all sinful reactions. For they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. Purport. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarvadharmam pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja anta sarva papi bhyo mukshai shami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. This same principle is described here. Sakrin manak Krishna padara vindayo. If by studying Bhagavad Gita one decides to surrender to Krishna, he is immediately freed from all sinful reactions. It is also significant that Shukadeva Goswami, having several times repeated the words Vasudeva Parayana and Narayana Parayana, finally says Krishna padara vindayo. Thus, he indicates that Krishna is the origin of both Narayana and Vasudeva. Even though Narayana and Vasudeva are not different from Krishna, simply by surrendering to Krishna, one fully surrenders to all his expansions, such as Narayana, Vasudeva, and Govinda. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matak Paratanam Danyat, there is no truth superior to me. There are many names and forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the Supreme Form, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Therefore, Krishna recommends to neophyte devotees that one should surrender unto him only, Maamekam, because neophyte devotees cannot understand what the forms of Narayan, Vasudeva, and Govinda are. Krishna directly says, Maamekam. Herein, this is also supported by the word Krishna Padara Vindayo. Narayan does not speak personally, but Krishna or Vasudeva does, as in Bhagavad Gita, for example. Therefore, to follow the direction of Bhagavad Gita means to surrender unto Krishna, and to surrender in this way is the highest perfection of bhakti yoga. The highest perfection of bhakti yoga. Come on. Parikshit Maharaj had inquired from Shukadeva Goswami how one can be saved from falling into the various conditions of hellish life. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami answers that a soul who has surrendered to Krishna certainly cannot go to Naraka, hellish of going there. Even in his dreams, he does not see Yamaraj or his order carriers who are able to take one there. In other words, if one wants to save himself from falling into naraka, hellish life, he should fully surrender to Krishna. The word sakrit is significant because it indicates that if one sincerely surrenders to Krishna once, he is saved even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful activities. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, apichet sudara chadho bhajate mam ananya bhag satureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hitaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. If one never for a moment forgets Krishna, he is safe even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful acts. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, Neha bikramanashosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayad. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Elsewhere in the Gita, 6:40, the Lord says, Nahi kalyanakat kritkashchit durgatim tatagachati. Nahi kodhyana kritkashchit durgatin tata gachchati. One who performs auspicious activity is never overcome by evil. The highest kalyana, auspicious activity, is to surrender to Krishna. That is the only path by which to save oneself from falling down into hellish life. Srila Prabhupada Saraswati has confirmed this as follows. Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapur akashapushpayate durdantendriya kalasarpapatali pratkatatamstrayate vishrampurnam sukayate vidimahen dradishcha kitayate yatkarunyakatakshavaiva babadham. Tam gaurame vastuma. The sinful actions of one who has surrendered unto Krishna are compared to a snake with its poison fangs removed. Protkata dumstrayate. Such a snake is no longer to be feared. Of course, one should not commit sinful activities on the strength of having. surrendered to Krishna. Discrepancy. However, even if one who has surrendered to Krishna happens to do something sinful because of his former habits, such sinful actions no longer have a destructive effect. Therefore, one should adhere to the lotus feet of Krishna very tightly and serve him under the direction of a spiritual master. Thus, in all conditions, one will be akutabhaya, free from fear. Snake with no fangs. In this regard, learned scholars and saintly persons describe a very old historical incident involving a discussion between the order carriers of Lord Vishnu and those of Yamaraj. Please hear of this from me. I think this is so cool that Shukadev heard it from a sage. You know, he was going around and he got into some discussion with a sage, and he heard the story, and he's passing it along. ITM. Isn't that pretty far out? Purport. The Puranas or old histories are sometimes neglected by unintelligent men who consider their descriptions mythological. Actually, the descriptions of the Puranas or the old histories of the universe are factual, although not chronological. The Puranas record the chief incidents that have occurred over many millions of years, not only on this planet, but also on other planets within the universe. Therefore, all learned and realized Vedic scholars speak with references to the incidents in the Puranas. Srila Rupa Goswami accepts the Puranas to be as important as the Vedas themselves. Therefore, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he quotes the following verse from Brahma Yamala. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vadimbina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpata Yevakalpate. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. A devotee of Krishna must refer not only to the Vedas, but also to the Puranas. One should not foolishly consider the Puranas mythological. If they were mythological, Shukadeva Goswami would not have taken the trouble to recite the old historical incidents concerning the life of Ajamil. Now the history begins as follows. And that brings us to the Gayatri break. We'll be back here at 12:30. Thank you very much. Go Premanande. Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're continuing with our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on Canto 6. Now on the first chapter, and we're taking up where we left off at the Gayatri Break at text 21 in this chapter entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil.
Kan kubje dvijakaschit. In the city known as Kanyakubja, there was a brahmana named Ajamil who married a prostitute maidservant and lost all his brahminical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. Purport. The fault of illicit connection with women is that it makes one lose all brahminical qualities. In India, there is still a class of servants called Shudras, whose maidservant wives are called Shudranis. Sometimes people who are very lusty establish relationships with such maidservants and sweeping women, since in the higher statuses of society, they cannot indulge in the habit of woman hunting, which is strictly prohibited by social conventions. Ajamil, a qualified Brahmana youth, lost all his brahminical qualities because of his association with a prostitute, but he was ultimately saved because he had begun the process of bhakti yoga. Therefore, in the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami spoke of the person who has only once surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. Kena pyapyaniya mana krishne nishevayat. One is on the path of liberation. It is customary in Hindu society for parents to give their children names like Krishnadas, Govindadas,
Narayana Das, and Vrindavan Das. Thus they chant the names Krishna, Govinda, Narayana, and Vrindavana, and get the chance to be purified. Text 26.
When Ajamil chewed food and ate it, he called the child to chew and eat. And when he drank, he called the child to drink also. Always engaged in taking care of the child and calling his name, Narayana, Ajamil could not understand that his own time was now exhausted and that death was upon him. Purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is kind to the conditioned soul. Although this man completely forgot Narayana, he was calling his child, saying, Narayana, please come eat this food. Narayana, please come drink this milk. Somehow or other, therefore, he was attached to the name Narayana. This is called Ajnata Sukriti. Although calling for his son, he was unknowingly chanting the name of Narayana. And the holy name of the Supreme Personality of God, it is so transcendentally powerful that his chanting was being counted and recorded, counted and recorded, counted and recorded. Proof positive. Ajnata Sukriti. 27. When the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajamil, he began thinking exclusively of his son, Narayana. Purport. In the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam 216, Shukdev Goswami says, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Bhyam Sadharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smritihi. The highest perfection of human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by acquirement of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of one's occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Somehow or other, Ajamil consciously or unconsciously chanted the name of Narayana at the time of death, Ante Narayana Smritihi, and therefore he became all perfect simply by concentrating his mind on the name of Narayana. It may also be concluded that Ajamil, who was the son of a Brahmana, was accustomed to worshipping Narayana in his youth because in every Brahmana's house there is worship of the Narayana Shila. This system is still present in India. In a rigid Brahmana's house, there is Narayana Seva, worship of Narayana. Therefore, although the contaminated Ajamil was calling for his son by concentrating his mind on the holy name of Narayana, he remembered the Narayana he had very faithfully worshipped in his youth. In this regard, Srila Sridhar Swami expressed his verdict as follows. Etachcha tad upalanadi shri narayana namocharana mahamyena tad bhaktir evabhud iti siddhantopa yogitvenapi drishtavyam. According to the Bhakti Siddhanta, it is to be analyzed that because Ajamil constantly chanted his son's name, Narayana, he was elevated to the platform of bhakti, although he did not know it. Similarly, Srila Viraraghava Acharya gives this opinion. Go ahead. Although at the time of death he was chanting the name of his son, he nevertheless concentrated his mind upon the holy name of Narayana. Srila Vijayadwaj Tirtha gives a similar opinion. Directly or indirectly, Ajamil factually remembered Narayana at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smritihi, Daily Double 28-29. Ajamil then saw three awkward persons with deformed bodily features, fierce twisted faces and hair standing erect on their bodies. With ropes in their hands, they had come to take him away to the abode of Yamaraj. When he saw them, he was extremely bewildered And because of attachment to his child, who was playing a short distance away, Ajamil began to call him loudly by his name. Thus, with tears in his eyes, he somehow or other chanted the holy name of Narayana. Purport, a person who performs sinful activities performs them with his body, mind, and words. Therefore, three order carriers from Yamaraj came to take Ajamil to Yamaraj's abode. Fortunately, even though he was referring to his son, Ajamil chanted the four syllables of the Harinama Narayana, and therefore the order carriers of Narayana, the Vishnudutas, also immediately arrived there. Because Ajamil was extremely afraid of the ropes of Yamaraj, he chanted the Lord's name with tearful eyes. Actually, however, he never meant to chant the holy name of Narayana. He meant to call his son. 30. My dear king, the order carriers of Vishnu, the Vishnudutas, immediately arrived when they heard the holy name of their master from the mouth of the dying Ajamil, who had certainly chanted without offense because he had chanted in complete anxiety. Purport, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Hari Kirtanam Nisham Ya Patan Katam Bhutasya Bratu Nama Bhuvataha Bruvataha. The order carriers of Lord Vishnu came because Ajamil had chanted the holy name of Narayana. They did not consider why he was chanting. While chanting the name of Narayana, Ajamil was actually thinking of his son, but simply because they heard Ajamil chanting the Lord's name, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnudutas, immediately came for Ajamil's protection. Hari Kirtan is actually meant to glorify the holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities of the Lord. Ajamil, however, did not glorify the form, qualities, or paraphernalia of the Lord. He simply chanted the holy name. Nevertheless, that chanting was sufficient to cleanse him of all sinful activities. As soon as the Vishnudutas heard their master's name being chanted, they immediately came. In this regard, Srila Vijayadwaj Tirtha remarks, Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan because of his excessive attachment to his son. Nevertheless, because of his past good fortune and having rendered devotional service to Narayan, he apparently chanted the holy name in full devotional service without offenses. Premana Ketan is here? Putri. Is it?
Yes.
Where is Putri? The Putri?
On the outside.
The Putri? Govinda Maharaj is here also? So they're here now, right?
Yeah.
I can hear Shivaram Maharaj's voice.
Yeah.
It's like the rumbling of clouds. Who's going to make some room? No? Just stay? Okay. Davina, you handle the situation. I'm going to keep reading. Everyone sit down.
They know they were reading. Davina's
in charge. The order carriers of Yamaraj were snatched. Come on, people now.
Text 31. The order carriers of Yamaraj were snatching the soul from the core of the heart of Ajamil, the husband of the prostitute. But with resounding voices, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnudutas, forbade them to do so. Purport. A Vaishnava, one who is surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, is always protected by Lord Vishnu's order carriers. Because Ajamil had chanted the holy name of Narayana, the Vishnudutas not only immediately arrived on the spot, but also at once ordered the Yamadutas not to touch him. By speaking with resounding voices, The Vishnu Dutas threatened to punish the Yamadutas if they continued trying to snatch Ajamil's soul from his heart. The order carriers of Yamaraj have jurisdiction over all sinful living entities, but the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, are capable of punishing anyone, including Yamaraj, if he wrongs a Vaishnava. Materialistic scientists do not know where to find the soul within the body with their material instruments, but this verse clearly explains that the soul is within the core of the heart, Hridaya. It is from the heart that the Yamadutas were extracting the soul of Ajamil. Similarly, we learn that the Supersoul, Lord Vishnu, is also situated within the heart, Ishwarak Savabhutanam Riddhisher Junatishtati. In the Upanishads, it is said that the Supersoul and the individual soul are living in the same tree of the body as two friendly birds. The Supersoul is said to be friendly because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the original soul that when the original soul transmigrates from one body to another, the Lord goes with him. Furthermore, according to the desire and karma of the individual soul, the Lord, through the agency of Maya, creates another body for him. The heart of the body is a mechanical arrangement. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Ishwarak sarvabhutanam riddhacher janatishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarudani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Yantra means a machine, such as an automobile. The driver of the machine of the body is the individual soul, who is also its director or proprietor. But the supreme proprietor is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's body is created through the agency of Maya, karmanat daivanetrena. And according to one's activities in this life, another vehicle is created, again under the supervision of Daivi Maya. Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. At the appropriate time, one's next body is immediately chosen, and both the individual soul and the supersoul transfer to that particular bodily machine. This is the process of transmigration. During transmigration from one body to the next, the soul is taken away by the order carriers of Yamaraj and put into a particular type of hellish life, Naraka, in order to become accustomed to the condition in which he will live in the next body. Text 32. When the order carriers of Yamaraj, the son of the sun god, were thus forbidden, they replied, "Who are you, sirs, that have the audacity to challenge the jurisdiction of Yamaraj?" Purport. According to the sinful activities of Ajamil, he was under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the supreme judge appointed to consider the sins of the living entities. When forbidden to touch Ajamil, the order carriers of Yamaraj were surprised because they had never been hindered in the execution of their duty by anyone within the three worlds. Text 33. "Dear sirs, whose servants are you? Where have you come from? And why are you forbidding us to touch the body of Ajamil? Are you demigods from the heavenly planets? Are you sub-demigods? Or are you the best of devotees?" Purport. The most significant word used in this verse is Siddha-Satamaha, which means the best of the perfect. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Manushyanam sahasrishu kaschit yadati siddhaye. Out of millions of persons, one may try to become siddha, perfect, or in other words, self-realized. A self-realized person knows that he is not the body, but a spiritual soul, aham brahmasmi. At the present moment, practically everyone is unaware of this fact. But one who understands this has attained perfection and is therefore called siddha. When one understands that the soul is part and parcel of the supreme soul and thus one engages in the devotional service of the Supreme Soul, one becomes Siddha Sattama. One is then eligible to live in the Vaikuntha planets, or Krishna Loka. The word Siddha Sattama, therefore, refers to the liberated pure devotee. Have you got a dash in the middle of the Siddha Sattama and the word Siddha Sattama? I guess it's a different usage. It's okay. It's a different usage. Yeah, Sattama and Sattama, that's right. Since the Yamadutas are servants of Yamaraj, one is also one of the Siddha Sattamas. Since the Yamadutas are servants of Yamaraj, who is also one of the Siddha Sattamas, they knew that a Siddha Sattama is above the demigods and sub-demigods, and indeed above all the living entities within this material world. The Yamadutas therefore inquired were present where a sinful man was going to die. It should also be noted that Ajamil was not yet dead, for the Yamadutas were trying to snatch the soul from his heart. They could not take the soul, however, and therefore Ajamil was not dead. Ajamil. This will be revealed in later verses. Ajamil was simply in an unconscious state when the argument was in progress between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. The conclusion of the argument was to be a decision regarding who would claim the soul of Ajamil. Text 34 through 36. A little double pleasure here, daily double. The order carriers of Yamaraj said, "Your eyes are just like the petals of lotus flowers, dressed in yellow silken garments, decorated with garlands of lotuses, and wearing very attractive helmets on your heads and earrings on your ears, you all appear fresh and youthful. Your four long arms are decorated with bows and quivers of arrows and with swords, clubs, conch shells, discs, and lotus flowers. Your effulgence has dissipated the darkness of this place with extraordinary illumination. Now, sirs, why are you obstructing us?" Purport. Before being introduced to a foreigner, one becomes acquainted with him through his dress, bodily features, and behavior, and can thus understand his position. Therefore, when the Yamadutas saw the Vishnudutas for the first time, they were surprised. They said, "By your bodily features, you appear to be very exalted gentlemen, and you have such celestial power that you have dissipated the darkness of this material world with your own effulgences. Why then should you endeavor to stop us from executing our duty?" It will be explained that the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraj, mistakenly considered Ajamil sinful. They did not know that although he was sinful throughout his entire life, he was purified by constantly chanting the holy name of Narayana. In other words, unless one is a Vaishnava, one cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnava. The dress and bodily features of the residents of Vaikuntha Loka are properly described in these verses. The residents of Vaikuntha, who were decorated with garlands and yellow silken garments, have four arms holding various weapons. Thus, they conspicuously resemble Lord Vishnu. They have the same bodily features as Narayana, because they have attained the liberation of Sarupya. But they nevertheless act as servants. All the residents of Vaikuntha Loka know perfectly well that their master is Narayana, or Krishna, and that they are all his servants. They are all self-realized souls who are Nityamukta, everlastingly liberated. Although they could conceivably declare themselves Narayana or Vishnu, they never do so. They always remain Krishna conscious and serve the Lord faithfully. Such is the atmosphere of Vaikuntha Loka. Similarly, one who learns the faithful service of Lord Krishna through the Krishna consciousness movement will always remain in Vaikuntha Loka and have nothing to do with the material world. Text 37. We'll write.
Shukadeva Goswami continued, being thus addressed by the messengers of Yamaraj, the servants of Vasudeva smiled and spoke the following words in voices as deep as the sound of rumbling clouds. Purport, the Yamadutas were surprised to see the Vishnudutas, although polite, were hindering the rule of Yamaraj. Similarly, the Vishnudutas were also surprised that the Yamadutas, although claiming to be servants of Yamaraj, the supreme judge of religious principles, were unaware of the principles of religious action. Thus, the Vishnudutas smiled, thinking, what is this nonsense they are speaking? If they are actually servants of Yamaraj, they should know that Ajamil is not a suitable candidate for them to carry off. 38. The blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnudutas, said, if you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion. Purport, this inquiry by the Vishnudutas to the Yamadutas is most important. A servant must know the instructions of his master. The servants of Yamaraj claim to be carrying out his orders, and therefore the Vishnudutas very intelligently ask them to explain the symptoms of religious and irreligious principles. A Vaishnava knows these principles perfectly well because he is well acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord says, Sarvadharman purityuja mamekam sharanam braja, give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Therefore, surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual principle of religion. Those who have surrendered to the principles of material nature instead of to Krishna are all impious, regardless of their material position. Unaware of the principles of religion, they do not surrender to Krishna, and therefore they are considered sinful rascals, the lowest of men, and fools bereft of all knowledge. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, Namam tuskritinamudha prabhadyante naradama maya pritagyana asuram bhavam asritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. One who has not surrendered to Krishna does not know the true principle of religion, otherwise he would have surrendered. The question posed by the Vishnudutas was very suitable. One who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. The devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, otherwise they will be considered foolish. All devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. 39. What is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruitive activities punishable, or only some of them? He who asks the questions leads the conversation. Purport. One who has the power to punish others should not punish everyone. Entities, the majority of whom are in the spiritual world and are nitya mukta, everlastingly liberated. There is no question of judging these liberated beings. Only a small fraction of the living entities, perhaps one-fourth, are in the material world, and the major portion of the living entities, 8 million of the 8,400,000 forms of life, are lower than human beings. They are not punishable, for under the laws of material nature, they are automatically evolving. Human beings who are advanced in consciousness are responsible, but not all of them are punishable. Those engaged in advanced pious activities are beyond punishment. Only those who engage in sinful activities are punishable. Therefore, the Vishnudutas particularly inquired about who is punishable and why Yamaraj has been designated to discriminate between who is punishable and who is not. How is one to be judged? What is the basic principle of authority? These are the questions raised by the Vishnudutas. Would you like to hear text 40?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being absolutely have to hear it? 11, very good. 17. Nagarkirtan takes it again. The Yamadusa replied, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas This we have heard from Yamaraj. That is Yamaduta Uchu Veda Pranihito Dharmo Hidharmas Tad Viparyayaha Vedo Narayana Sakshad Swayamburiti Shushruma. The servants of Yamaraj replied quite properly. They did not manufacture principles of religion or irreligion. Instead, they explained what they had heard from the authority, Yamaraj. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. One should follow the Mahajana, the authorized person. Yamaraj is one of 12 authorities. Therefore, the servants of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, replied with perfect clarity when they said, Shushruma, we have heard. The members of modern civilization manufactured effective religious principles through speculative concoction. This is not dharma. They do not know what is dharma and what is adharma. Therefore, as stated in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma projitta kaitavotra, dharma is not supported by the Vedas. Dharma not supported by the Vedas is rejected from Srimad Bhagavat Dharma. Bhagavat Dharma comprises only that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavata Dharma is sarvadharmam pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja. One must accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of God. That is dharma. Arjuna, for example, thinking that violence was a dharma, was declining to fight, but Krishna urged him to fight. Arjuna abided by the orders of Krishna, and therefore he is actually a dharmi, because the order of Krishna is dharma. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaishta sarve ahameva vedya. The real purpose of Veda, knowledge, is to know me. One who knows Krishna perfectly is liberated, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tattvataha tekvadeham punar janma naitima meti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. One who understands Krishna and abides by his order is a candidate for returning back home, back to Godhead. It may be concluded that dharma, religion, refers to that which is ordered in the Vedas, and adharma, irreligion, refers to that which is not supported in the Vedas. Dharma is not actually manufactured by Narayana. As stated in the Vedas, Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etad yad rigveda iti. The injunctions of dharma emanate from the breathing of Narayana, the supreme living entity. Narayana exists eternally and breathes eternally, and therefore dharma, the injunctions of Narayana also exist eternally. Śrīla Madhvacārya, the original Acharya for those who belong to the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, says, Vedānam pratamo vakta harir eva yato vibhu to vishvaha veda ityahur veda vadinaha. The transcendental words of the Vedas emanated from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic principles should be understood to be Vaishnava principles, because Vishnu is the origin of the Vedas. The Vedas contain nothing besides the instructions of Vishnu, and one who follows the Vedic principles is a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is not a member of a manufactured community of this material world. A Vaishnava is a real knower of the Vedas, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishya sarver ahameva vedya.
Text 41. The supreme cause of all causes, Narayana, is situated in his own abode in the spiritual world. But nevertheless, he controls the entire cosmic manifestation according to the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. In this way, all living entities are awarded different qualities, different names, such as brahmana, kshatriya, and vaishya, different duties according to the varnashrama institution, and different forms. Thus, Narayana is the cause of the entire cosmic manifestation. Purport. The Vedas inform us, Natasikaryam karanam chabidyate, natatsamas chabyadikas chadrishyate, parasya shaktir vividai vashruyate, swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is almighty, omnipotent. He has multifarious energies, and therefore he is able to remain in his own abode and without endeavor supervise and manipulate the entire cosmic manifestation through the interaction of the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. These interactions create different forms, bodies, activities, and changes, which all occur perfectly. Because the Lord is perfect, everything works as if he were directly supervising and taking part in it. Atheistic men, however, being covered by the three modes of material nature, cannot see Narayana to be the supreme cause behind all activities. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tribhir gunamayair bhavayair ebhik sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabhijanati mamevyak paramavyayam. Deluded by the three modes, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Because unintelligent agnostics are mohita, illusioned by the three modes of material nature, they cannot understand that Narayana, Krishna, is the supreme cause of all activities. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvarak Sarvabhut Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Text 42. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and Supersoul himself all witness the activities of the living entity. Purport. The members of some religious sects, especially Christians, do not believe in the reactions of karma. We once had a discussion with a learned Christian professor who argued that although people are generally punished after the witnesses of their misdeeds are examined, there are witnesses responsible for one suffering the reactions of past karma. To such a person, the answer by the Yamadutas is given here. A conditioned soul thinks that he is working stealthily and that no one can see his sinful activities. But we can understand from the Shastras that there are many witnesses, including the sun, fire, sky, air, moon, demigods, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the Supersoul himself, who sits within the individual soul, within his heart. Who sits with the individual soul. It's within? Sorry. Excuse me? I know. They know the schedule. They... 30 seconds. I want to go from the beginning of that sentence. A conditioned soul thinks that he is working stealthily and that no one can see his sinful activities, but we can understand from the Shastras that there are many witnesses, including the sun, fire, sky, air, moon, demigods, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the super soul himself, who sits within the individual soul within his heart. Where is the dearth of witnesses? The witnesses and the Supreme Lord both exist, and therefore so many living entities are elevated to higher planetary systems or degraded to lower planetary systems, including the hellish planets. There are no discrepancies, for everything is arranged perfectly by the management of the Supreme God, Svabhaviki Jnana Bula Kriya Cha. The witnesses mentioned in this verse are also mentioned in other Vedic literatures. Aditya Chandrao Anilo Nalascha Dhyao Buaro Ilo Nriyanam Nimascha Ahascha Ratris Cha Ube Sasandye Dharmo Pijanati Narascha Vritam.
Thanks to all of you who join us in the live studios here at Govardhan Hill. We'll see you back right after lunch.
Natari Armarman, 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 Natari Armarman,